Huh? Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
I hope you all enjoyed the celebration yesterday. Our nation's independence. 244 years. Stood the test of time. Almost like my marriage, 46. They said it wouldn't last either. It is lasting. And it's stronger than it ever been. I got a precious lady back there this morning. We got a long way, 244 years to catch up, Therese. Well, on June 11th, 1776, the colonies' Second Continental Congress met in Philadelphia and formed a committee whose express purpose was drafting a document that would formally sever their ties with Great Britain. The committee included Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Roger Sherman, and Robert R. Livingston. Jefferson, who was considered the strongest and most elegant writer, crafted the original draft document. A total of 86 changes were made to his original draft, and the Continental Congress officially adopted the final version on July 4th, 1776. The following day, copies of the Declaration of Independence were distributed, and on July 6th, the Pennsylvania Evening Post became the first newspaper to print the extraordinary document. The Declaration of Independence has since been our nation's most cherished symbol of liberty. On July 8, 1776, the first public readings of the document were held in Philadelphia's Independence Square to the ringing of bells and band music. 1 year later, on July 4, 1777, Philadelphia marked Independence Day by adjourning Congress and celebrating with bonfires, bells, and fireworks. The custom eventually spread to other towns, both large and small, where the day was marked with processions, speeches, picnics, contests, games, military displays, and fireworks. Observations throughout the nation became even more common at the end of the War of 1812 with Great Britain. And that's when the Star-Spangled Banner was written. Congress established Independence Day as a holiday in 1870. And in 1938, Congress reaffirmed it as a paid holiday for federal employees. Today, communities across the nation mark this major midsummer holiday with parades, fireworks, and the boom was last night in two places. Picnics, performances of the Star-Spangled Banner, and marches by John Philip Sousa. And yes, the singing of God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. Psalm chapter 33, Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people He has chosen as His own. Blessed. You thought right away, made holy. Consecrated, right? The word blessed here, it means to be manifestly happy. Or obviously happy. So the New Life Version says it like this. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people he has chosen for his own. Right? Happy, happy, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. And happy, happy, happy are the people that he has chosen for his own. Because we all like to be happy. And in Psalm 1, and we look to verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. New Life Version? Because it is the same blessed that you read in Psalm 33. Manifestly happy. Happy is the man who does not walk in the way sinful men tell him to. Who are you getting your counseling from? Let's remember that, who you go to. And the one you should go to is God. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1, New Living Translation, my son and daughters, pay attention to wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Wisdom. Where are you going to get wise counsel from? From the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He's full of knowledge. He understands everything. Everything that we're going through. He understands it. He knows that it's going to take a fight. And we are to fight the good fight. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. Why he led me to this scripture, I don't know, but I think I do, is Psalm 107, verse 11. They rebelled against the words of God, rejecting the counsel of the Most High. He's talking about rebellious people who don't listen. People who get down and they're in their darkest places, in the deepest gloom of life, have no hope and no happiness because of where they're getting their counseling from. So don't rebel against the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. It will make you very, very wise. Those who listen to God's counsel will be happy. What's it say up there in Proverbs 5? Pay attention. Pay attention. The key here is to be, as it said in all the other scriptures, listening. Listening to the Holy Spirit. You got the Word in you? He'll bring clarification to you through the Word of God if you're listening. You hear what I said? If you're listening. Our nation's founding fathers were listening. And they established this nation upon God's Word. The founding fathers were not all Christians. But they were all deeply influenced by the Bible and the principles of Christianity. A mindset that actually shaped their political ideals. The founding fathers all thought from a biblical perspective. They used the Word of God for the foundation of this United States. This great nation, let me say that. As we can see, there was a predominant Christian consensus in colonial America that most definitely shaped the founders' thinking and their writing of the founding documents and laws, resulting in the public that we know right now, this republic. The Declaration of Independence identified the source of all authority and rights as what? Their creator. And then accentuated the individual human rights that were God-given and not man-made. God-given. So let me read that. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the principal bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the of nature's God. We're talking about God here. Entitled them a decent respect to the opinions of mankind, that mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to that separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizations, its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and their happiness. And then it goes on to list them all. Right here, they are saying there would be no more king or established religion to stand in the way of human liberty and dignity. That is uniquely Christian ideals, folks. Okay, the very last paragraph. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assemble, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. That's on God. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Wow. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. The Word of God gave them the confidence to write this declaration and to acknowledge God for His protection because of the covenant that we have and that they had. They knew because they knew the Word of God. Now, they may not have all been Christians, like I said before, but they did read the Bible. And Romans 8, 31 and 32. But 31 gave them confidence. If God be for us, who can be against us? Imagine they had to say that to one another, to encourage one another. That's why you can read it at the beginning. The unanimous. Everyone was in agreement. Unanimous. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then they sealed it with verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yeah. All things? Sounds like he would give us their freedom. Give them the right to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. To give them representation without all this taxing that they were doing. Taxation without representation. What man can put upon you. But see, if God be for us, who can be against us? In Psalm 146, verse 7, New International Reader's Version, he stands up for those who are treated badly. Now, 13 colonies were most definitely being treated badly. He gives food to the hungry. He was Jehovah Jireh to them. The Lord sets prisoners free. They were being treated like prisoners. The founders knew with God's help, I said with God's help, that they would achieve freedom. Because in verse 5 it said, here we go, happy is he who has God for his helper. All they had to do is keep looking to the Word of God, and the confidence kept building and building and building in them. This experiment of personal liberty and human rights through representative government was uncommon, if not even unheard of during that its day then. But ultimately, at great cost, I said at great cost, the colonies won their freedom. They won it in 1783. These founding fathers and the colonists put their faith in God and believed His word to be true. God gave them supernatural strength to endure, and they were ultimately able to attain their independence because who was their helper? God. Now, at the end of the war, there was a prayer by George Washington, and he wrote it and delivered it on June 14th, 1783. And remember, he wasn't president. He didn't become president until 1789. We didn't have our first president until 1789, yet we won our independence, and the war ended in 1783. He writes, Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that you will keep the United States in your holy protection, that you will incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that you will most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with the charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, that means peaceful, which were the characteristics of the divine authority of our blessed religion, without a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our prayers, we ask of you, Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wow. George Washington wrote that not long ago. Prayer. It's important. Prayer. Goes back to our government back then. They prayed before they had their meetings. And when they did that, things happened. Now in February, 1961, President John F. Kennedy, he made a speech to the nation called The Nation's Guiding Principle. At the end of that speech, he quoted this prayer, not in exact as it was, but he quoted Washington's prayer. Then he ended his speech with this final statement. The guiding principle and prayer of this nation has been, is now, and shall ever be, in God we trust. Four very powerful words. And these four words are all over our Capitol. They're engraved in buildings everywhere. They're on documents. They're on our currency. You know, the people in this nation need to wake up. Our politicians, our elected officials need to wake up. We got to get back to putting our trust in God. And I kept thinking of, how many of you have seen the Polar Express? Huh? How many of you have seen the Polar Express? Just a couple people? Well, anyhow, do you remember the scene where the little boy is up on top of the train and there's all that snow and he just can't believe what's happening? He falls down on his knees and he takes the snow and he rubs it in his face and says, oh, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. That's what I wish they would all do. Just wake up for a change. Wake up. Do what we have as the people asked you to do for us when you are supposed to be representing us in the Capitol building for our benefits. We have rights. They keep trying to take away our rights. It's what we fought for freedom and for the rights. Thank you, Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Let me stop right there. What we're talking about is God's word right here. That's God's word. See, Paul, he saw God's word as standing. Not only in the past, but in the present right there, when he wrote this to his son Timothy. Now, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, what's he say? The grass withers, as Dean prays, and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Word of God stands forever. God's word will also stand firmly, firmly in the future, since it is eternal. Yeah. Eternal means lasting forever. In Psalm 119, verse 89, your word is forever, Lord. It is firmly established in heaven. I like that. Your word is forever. You know, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. His word, the Bible, all 66 books, they've stood established. They aren't going nowhere. So why not utilize the word? Our founding fathers did. Our founding fathers knew this and they believed it to be true. So what better to establish a new nation on but on the word of God? Samuel Adams, one of the signers, he said, he who made the truce necessary to human happiness obvious to all. Our forefathers opened the Bible to all. Wow. Open the Bible. More people would just open the Bible. John Adams said, the general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were general principles of Christianity. I also avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal. And this eternal here, when he was using it, he was talking about they have no end and no beginning, and immutable, unchangeable, as the existence and attributes of God. They are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the whole scripture now. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone whose name's the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He knows those who are His when one becomes born again. That's when you know you are His. But you got to remember, He actually knew you before you were born physically. Yeah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I made you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Man keeps trying to figure it out. They can't. It's God who makes you in the womb. In Isaiah 43:1, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine, is what he said. You are mine. This demonstrates his intimate relationship with us as his sons and daughters through his son, Jesus Christ. Because we're adopted into the family through him. You are mine. Lisa, you are his. What you're praying for and believing for, he hears you. You're his daughter. Donnie, you're his. He's Donnie. I know what you're dealing with, but I also know what my word says. And I know this, you will overcome. Kathy, say the same thing. Kathy, what you're dealing with? I got it. You're mine. You're mine. Lynn, I know you will hear this, but you're his. He's brought you this far and gave you the ability to endure. You will overcome. Debbie, you're his. You will overcome this. You have fought the good fight. Continue to fight. Teresa, he knows you by name, babe. He knows what you're dealing with. He wants to continue to let you know he's there. He'll strengthen you. He'll get you through this. Michelle, when you listen to this, you're his. He's got you covered. He said, I sent my son for you because you're mine. I sent my son for you to die on a cross. My body was broken for each and every one of you. Broken for your healing and for your wholeness. Don't look to anything else or to anyone else. Let them guide and lead you through the process of what you need to do. But always go back to the final authority on every subject. And that is my word. And that's what he says to you. The word. It's the word. God's word is foundational. It's never going anywhere. It's forever. It's forever established in heaven. So why not use it? Exercise it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. Wow. You can't even comprehend that. Stop and think about that. The blessings that we know about, you can pick them up in little baskets compared to what he has for us. Heaven.
Yeah.
The benefits are up there. They're at your doors if you want them. If you want them, by the truckload. And all I do is thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the benefits. Thank you for renewing them each and every morning. Keep supplying them. Every time I need, you come through. Whether it be physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, he will meet your need.
Yes, sir.
He will.
Yes, sir.
Before the creation of the world, he chose us through Christ to be holy and perfect in his presence. Because of his love. Because of what?
Love.
His what?
Love.
He had already decided to adopt us through Jesus Christ. He freely chose to do this. He freely chose to do that. Because of?
Love.
And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Because God is all about love. God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people he has chosen as his own. Independence Day, the 4th of July. It's a federal holiday in the United States commemorating the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America on July 4th, 1776. The Continental Congress declared that the 13 American colonies were no longer subject or subordinate to the monarch of Britain, King George III, and were now united, free, and independent states. It took bravery on the part of those 56 men who signed that document. And according to popular legend surrounding the document, okay, John Hancock, you remember him? Well, his signature that he signed it large, did he not? And very distinctive. He wanted to do that so King George could read it without his glasses. You know, I tried to actually see if that was really true with all the tracing. But it's in the Patriot Bible, so I'm going to go with it. So even though if it wasn't true, what is true is that one of the colonial Americans' most passionate revolutionaries and richest merchants put his life on the line with his signature. See, because if the Revolutionary War was lost, or if he was captured, he would be hanged.
Yeah.
He put it all on the line. Christ put it all on the line for you and me. And these men knew that Christ would get them through. Christ and God, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Who better to help you? When you go into the fight, you just go in and say, hey, I brought my big brother with me here. His name is Jesus. He's got the name above all names. So no matter what you say, I know those are facts, but I know the truth. And the truth overrides the facts. Because I know where my heart's at and I know where my faith's at. It's in my Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one who's greater. Because greater is he that is inside me than he that is in the world. Amen? Because in Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, for freedom, Christ freed us.
Yeah.
Stand fast, therefore, and do not entangle again with the yoke of bondage. For freedom, Christ freed us.
Yeah.
And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed.
Yeah.
Let me end with this from Patrick Henry. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. How about we listen to America?